Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no, no, no. Man, what the hell is wrong with you? Can't you get anything right? You got to get out this thing, get out of the life. You got to just be mud. Hey, can you come outside? I want to show you something. I said I'll be back there, little honey bun. I was hoping she had a naked lady alone in the back of my pickup truck. It turned out it wasn't going to be deadly brother. Who took a pickup truck and knew about this jump? What the?
America, you are Breaking News Journal on Air Radio, and you just got through hearing Mr. Toot Sweet. He is really sweet, guys, and I just want you to know that he's a wonderful, wonderful person. And we're going to talk to him today about all the music that he's done, how he got into the music business, how he got to be all over the Patriot scene, doing all the music for the Tea Parties, Alan West and Michelle Bachman, Michelle Malkin, and all these other people. Welcome, Toot.
How are you doing?
I'm doing.
I don't know where you found that song. You dragged that one out. I like that.
Well, you know, I was looking at your site and everything, and I was like, okay, let me just do something different because I know you do a lot of Patriot stuff. But I was like, I want to see the real Toot Sweet. What he's really the wild side, and sure did find the wild side. I was like,
that is too funny.
Come on, man. But, you know, I love the music to it and stuff like that. And I was like, this is really unique. I really like that, the way you did that. So you're going to tell us about who you are, how you got started, how you got into the Patriot scene, and what's happening in your end.
Well, let's see. Let me start from the beginning, how I got started. I mean, I was always into music as a kid. I was a drummer, you know, in high school. I was always playing the drums. And then I started writing music, and I was writing my own songs, and I decided I wanted to sing. And everybody, when I first started singing, I didn't know what I was doing, and everybody was like, yo, dude, do me a favor. You're a great drummer. Don't sing. Whatever you do, don't sing. So once they told me that, then I had to sing. Then it was just like, that's it. Nobody could tell me not to do something, so now I have to sing.
You sound like me.
Yeah, you know, we all got that in us, you know. So now I'm like, that's it. So around 2 years go by, I'm singing, I'm, you know, working on stuff. 2 years go by, and I finally made my first record. You know, I put together my first CD. This is years and years ago. And I played it to some people, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. They go, who did you get to sing? And I was like, ha, ah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was my first stepping stone into singing. So I still played the drums, but I started singing. I formed a couple of bands, and I was doing the whole thing. And then, you know, most of my friends went different ways that I grew up with playing music with, and they all, you know, got married, settled down, and gave up the music thing. And I kept it going. And then And then after 9/11, I guess, is when I started getting politically active. I really didn't know anything about politics before that.
Mm-hmm,
I really didn't care. You know, it was the furthest thing from my mind. But like a lot of people, after 9/11, that was kind of the stepping stone. And, you know, just watching what was going on. And then what really got me crazy was the bailouts. It wasn't Obama that got me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It was George Bush when he did the first, when he did the bailouts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's when I was livid. I was just like, you know, because I was starting to get a little into it. You know, Fox News was on. I was starting to know all the different pundits. And all of a sudden, when Bush did the bailouts, I went nuts. So that was what sparked it. That's when we started. And then Obama comes in and just totally goes ballistic. You know, this guy, I don't even know what's going on anymore. And then I just started writing. I just, like any musician, you know, like most songs come from a heart, from, you know, a broken heart. So most of the times you hear songs, they're all about a girl breaking their heart or, you know, stuff like that. Well, my heart was getting broken as well by the country. And so I started writing music about my love, which was about America, and how my heart was being broken watching what was going on. And that's kind of what sparked the inspiration behind all the music I've done.
So, see, you've been everywhere, though. You started getting involved with the Tea Party movement, and I know you're a part of Big Dog Music Mafia because Lisa Mae Norton and I are pretty close. And I was like, oh, God, he's everywhere. I mean, how did you get, you know, I mean, how did people find out who you are and stuff like that? Because I know you and Gordon Gebert, you guys are around the same circle of friends and stuff. So how did that happen?
It's funny. It's like anything else. When you're actively involved, you know, situations just keep coming up. You know, you meet people here. Oh, yo, did you go here? Did you ever meet this guy? You got to get in touch with this person. And just by being there, you start meeting different people and, you know.
Networking
and all that. Yeah. And it was fun because I felt like I had something to say and I wanted people to hear what I had to say. You know, it's for a specific. The music I've done, the political stuff I've done, was literally, it's for a specific movement. It's for a moment in time. I mean, what I really wanted to do, which was what I set out to do, was to actually document history through my music.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to document the last like 6 years or so musically,
mm-hmm.
so it's all there on, you know, on a record. So if people wanted to hear, you know, you can listen to the song, you can get a history lesson with a little musical background on it.
Well, you know, that's a real good thing. I mean, I think that's a real good thing to be able to document this stuff. And you know what? You really speak your mind. Like when we produced Occupy versus Tea Party in New York, you really stood your ground and everything, but I want to ask you, since you were you and I were there and we were producing this this thing in New York, what did you get out of it? Because I don't think I've spoken to you much until, you know, we've Facebooked and stuff like that, but I really haven't spoken to you since we were in New York last year. So what did you get out of that?
Well, I mean, I definitely it was nice to meet those guys. I mean, just meeting those the opposite Occupy guys
and the kids.
They were everyone there was nice. You know, I had no problem with any of them personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
I mean, you know, they were all, and I didn't know how it was going to be. You know, because I went down to Zuccotti Park a few times, and it was like I'm like, these people are, you know, they were like animals, you know. It wasn't, didn't think that I would have anything that I'd even want to have a conversation with these people, because judged by what I've seen. But then when I met them in person on a different, you know, when they were out of their element and into some kind, I guess, into civilization instead of creeping out of the park, I don't even know if they were actually there. You know, I don't remember seeing any of their
right,
faces.
Right, I understand.
But meeting them. Yeah, but meeting them in person, and you know, they were all. I don't agree with them. I think both sides come from totally different points of view on what we believe government's role should be. They, you know, I don't agree with any of that. But other than that, you know, they could speak their mind. I think that the problem is we have to their message for some reason resonates more with the kids, and that's what's being taught in school. Our message is like themed as this old fashioned, outdated message, and that's what we have to kind of change, because we got the real message of freedom. They got the message of of tyranny, I would, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, it seems like when they began, they thought that they had their guard up, and they really wanted to fight, is what they really wanted to do. And I think that after we had the actual show taping, and we went to the club down the street, remember, when we did that,
of course,
they started really melting. They were just, I mean, if you remember, it was like they didn't even want to leave. You know, they found out things about us that they realized was not true, and that they had been given a lie about certain things, and they realized that, and it's like they didn't want to leave. You know, and I remember interviewing one of the guys who had been on Sean Hannity's program. And I remember
Sean. I know who he is.
You remember the one I'm talking about? Oh, I think it was Harrison.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And I had told Harrison on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio when I had him on that I disagreed with Sean Hannity for not giving him a job. He said, "I want a job. I'll work for you." And Sean just dismissed him. And I thought that would have been an opportune time for Sean Hannity to be able to show his spirit. You know, instead of saying, "We'll just go out and get a job," just like, "I can't find one."
Yeah.
You know, and he was hurting. It's like, give him something to do. If he wanted to give him something to sweep the floors or whatever it was, he was saying, I'm here now. I mean, you know, give me a job and I'll show you. I'll work."
It's funny that you brought that up, because I saw that interview as well, and I thought Sean Hannity was so rude. I was not happy with Sean Hannity in that whole interview. It was he was like, you have a guest on, I don't care if you agree with them or not, treat them with respect. He just really didn't respect the kid at all. I didn't like that. And everybody has their days and their bad moments, but that was not a good moment for Sean Hannity, I didn't believe.
Yeah, most people, most people said the same thing, you know. And when
if I
meet him in
like
person, I'm going to hit him on that one. Because it's the children, it's the young people. We want them to understand what's going on, you know, their constitution, the founding documents, the founding principles. We have got to demonstrate that.
Of course. But yeah, and you also, you want to treat people with respect, because then if you're right or wrong, you're automatically wrong if you're not respectful. You know?
Absolutely.
I was like, what is he doing? Sean Hannity does his thing, and I have nothing against Sean Hannity.
Of course.
I just thought that particular moment, that interview, I thought that was not a great moment for Sean Hannity. That's, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you move on.
Well, yeah, you're right. I'm going to ask you some questions about your music in a minute, but I want to ask you, how much do you, there's some situations going on with the schools across the country, and I don't know if you are aware of it, or those of you who are in the music business, if you're aware of what's happening in the education business. But we are, my husband is working, he's a professor, of course you've met him, but he is working on with some pastors and some people like that to get all of the children out of the public school systems because of what they're getting ready to try to do to the kids. I don't know if you're aware of what it is or not.
I'm embarrassed to say that I'm not. I haven't really been following the news as much.
Well,
driving me nuts.
Well, you're not going to find anything on those regular. No, you're not going to even find most of this on Fox or anything else. They're not. They're really not talking a lot about it. But you know how we've all been talking about Bill Ayers and George Soros and people like that, right?
Right.
Well, they're involved in a program to totally take control of our children away from the parents. And it's a program called Common Core. And what they want to do, what they're starting to do, and this all has to do with Planned Parenthood and some other things, but they're actually trying to sexualize our children. And they, even in New York, where you are, there was a group of girls that were forced into a gym by their teacher to perform same-sex relationships with other girls as an experiment and to get a grade.
What? Really?
This is happening all over the country. So this is starting to happen all over the country where they're trying to sexualize and same-sex the kids with a lot of books and documentation that says it's okay for you to experiment with this and that and the other. That's a parent's role. That is not their role, the school's role, but they're trying to make it their role. And people are calling for people are taking their kids out. I interviewed, I'm going to send you a radio interview of one of the girls that live in Long Island that took her twins out of public school and what happened to them as a result of this new Common Core thing. So people this summer, a lot of them are taking their kids out, but a lot of kids in the central cities of the country are not aware of what's going on. 49 schools in Chicago were closed just 2 weeks ago, and 1,000 teachers were fired. So that they can rush these kids into a workforce education where they won't be able to get regular jobs or the kind of jobs that they want to. They want to stop the creation, music creation, and everything else of these kids.
Yeah, there's so much going on. This is just, it's unbelievable.
All at
it's
one time. It
on.
Is.
Yeah, it's really wild.
It's happening at one time, and that's why if we can get these kids to stop the money flow, because these politicians, Democrat or Republican, they have been messing up for years, and now what's happening is people are starting to say, hey, you know, we're not going to do that. We're getting ready to take our kids out. So we can stop the money trail by making sure that we just totally collapse the system. That's the only thing left
to do. You know what I think? I mean, I don't know if this is even possible, but I think that there's so many different battles being fought all over the place, and the problem is we're not going to the root cause, and the root cause is government's limited role. And until, you know, we can fight all, we have to limit government's role, and that would solve all of these problems, because if government didn't have the power to do the stuff that they're doing, if government couldn't come in and take control of your school system and put these agendas in, you know, the teachers should be teaching you how to teach. I mean, how to read, how to write, not an agenda. They shouldn't be trying to teach you anything. And if those were the laws that government was held to, I mean, even the tax code should be a flat tax. We've got to get rid of the tax code. That, to me, is the biggest problem the country sees. It's I call it taxes and dictators. I mean, it all stems. What did we fight? We fought a revolution against two things, against taxes and against the king. Now, what do we have? We have an 80,000-page tax code, and we have Charlie Rangold, who's been in office for 40 years.
And somebody who thinks he's a king.
We have exactly what we fought the revolution against. So if we got rid of the tax code, what gives all the politicians their power? Taxes. We have to look at what gives government its power? How do they get power and take it away? And so just get right to the heart of the matter. Go to the taxes. No more subsidies. No more special classes. Every door has to be
equal.
Yeah, I mean, these are all. It all stems from one situation: the tax code.
We'll control back to the people,
yeah.
right? You know, I think you're absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. Did you know that I was the first 2008 presidential candidate of the elections before Hillary, Obama, or McCain?
I knew that you were going for the big.
I ran.
The
I
big
ran
potato over there. I didn't know that you were the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. First official one. But see, and that's one of the reasons why I started. That's why I started the news services, because I realized that I don't care whether it's Fox or whatever. I mean. Bill O'Reilly was so he was so overtaken by the program that I did, because so many of his listeners wanted to hear he had such a high volume of listeners that wanted to hear what I had to say, that he just decided he wasn't going to have me on his program again. It was just too became too popular. I guess he thought I was going to take his show or something. I wasn't interested in that.
I wish you would.
But...
I wish you would take his show. I'm getting sick of Bill O'Reilly.
Almost everybody is getting sick of him. But that's
oh,
when I
man,
realized that I needed
much.
To offer something. Well, see, that's the reason why I needed to offer something for grassroots people. It's like they're not going to get – I want people's voices to be heard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I started Breaking News Journal on Air Radio, Breaking News Journal on .net, all those different things. And now we're getting ready to branch into the Breaking News Journal TV channel and feature films.
Oh,
so that's what we're working on now, that we pray to God to have launched by next year. And
wow.
But that kind of thing is because of this of the things that I saw when I was on the campaign trail. People were angry. They were like, "I didn't even know you were running. I didn't even know. But I like what you have to say. How come Fox is not featuring you? How come MSNBC?" I'm like, they want to try to squash somebody. But I'm not the type of person to be squashed. You know, I'll find a way around you if I need to do just that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's
totally.
It sounds like toots, huh? I will join. we'll join the toots squad, because it's like you tell us one thing and we'll go do something else.
Exactly. Yeah, that, I love when people tell me I can't do something. That's when I do it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now tell me about this song. Come on, man. I want to know. I told you we're gonna get back to it. So now
that's
you gotta
good.
Tell me where you came up with that song. I like the music.
Come
though.
On, man. That's funny. It was something I just put together real quick. It was a goofy. I had a goofy idea. I watched the football, and on the football, on the Sports Center, they got the Come On, Man segment. So mm-hmm. That's what sparked the idea, and I was like, you know, this would be a good idea, having somebody like he's got his brother-in-law, and the brother-in-law is always messing everything up for him, and every time he's going to do something, his brother-in-law gets in the way, or he's, you know, he's like, come on, man, what the hell are you doing? You know, he's always pissed off at his brother-in-law, and he can't do nothing because it's his wife's brother, obviously, and he's kind of stuck with him. Now, I think we all have a friend or somebody like that you're just stuck
yes.
with, you can't get rid of.
Yes.
You love them to death, but they're always messing everything up for you. So that's kind of
yes.
where that came from.
Oh, okay. I was dying. I was like, I got to talk to Tooth about this. Well, can you tell us about
I'm
your... Tell
you
us about your... You're funny. Tell us about... Well, you know me. I research, so, you know...
I know. Now I really
way.
Know.
tell us about your website. Tell us about your next songs that are coming out, your albums and stuff that are coming out, and where you're going to be playing, all those different kinds of things. And when this program is over with, I'm going to send you the embedded code so you can put it on your site and stuff like that, so you'll have it for yourself and everything.
Thank you. Well, my website is tootsweet.com. That's tootsweet.com. And I actually just finished my second CD, my second political CD, I guess I'll call it, and
mm-hmm.
it's called The Liberty Manifesto, and it's up right now on tootsweet.com,
mm-hmm.
and going forward, I have a lot of interesting stuff coming up going forward. I'm going to be changing my genre. I'm not going to do too much. I'm going to still have a little political undertone, but I'm not going to do too much in-your-face political music.
Mm-hmm.
I think I kind of covered it all in the
mm-hmm.
last 6 years. You know, I've written, I got the two CDs, and I've written tons of songs for different candidates. You know, I could make a whole
mm-hmm.
other CD out of just the songs I've written for all those other people, for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I covered that. Now it's time to move into something else. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go a little more. It's going to be a little more country.
I love
a little more on the country. Yeah, I love it too. I mean, I went down. I talked to so many people from country. I'm actually going to be going to Nashville in the next month or two, and just going down there and checking things out. I'm really been getting into it a lot more. And both my albums, I have a country song on both albums. I have on the last album I just released, I have Lone Star Ranger, which is a country track. And on the first track, on the first CD, Freedom Don't Come Easy, it's got that country. So I always had that little country thing going on, but I never really delved into it. Going forward, and I'm going to get a band together. I got some great musicians that are dying to get together and get out there. And we're going to put it together, and hopefully by March of next year, we should have it all together. It should be all coming together by April, you know, and down the road. We're just going to start touring, getting out there, getting on the road. Really excited about it.
Well, listen, I'll tell you one thing. When we start the Breaking News Journal TV channel and stuff, I would love for us to communicate about, you know, following you on your tours. Just like Gordon, I told Gordon, I said, when we have the channel up, I'd love to follow you guys. You know how you're on location where you guys go and stuff like that. I think it would be good TV watching, because we're definitely going to have clean TV. We don't want all the perverted stuff that you see on VH1 and MTV and all that other kind of stuff.
Oh, that's it. Count me out. No, I'm not kidding.
No. I'm not going to count you out. What do you mean count you out? You that bad? Are you that bad?
I'm only kidding. No, not at all. I love good, wholesome, good, clean fun.
I know you do. But you can have clean fun and still be wild. You know, that's the thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not talking about being where you don't talk about real issues like whiskey and wine type of thing. But you know what I'm saying?
I'm only kidding.
Or girls or whatever. But you know, it's just that, you know, we need, our kids need it, because they.
Yeah, listen, there's a whole bunch of different outlets out there if you want to listen to other stuff, if you want to get a little more raunchy. You know what? It's good to have an outlet out there for people that don't want to hear all that raunchy stuff. You got to have it all, you know? So I think it's a great idea what you're doing. Hello? Hello?
What happened here? There probably was a technical difficulty. Are you
there? Oh, there we go. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Oh my God! I don't know what happened either, but I was like, "Oh my God, I was gonna play your music. I was gonna say, okay, well, I don't know where he is, but we'll just play his music on now, you know." But see, you have to learn this kind of thing. You can't get mad and start beating up the computer and everything. Well, I'm the type of person that I'll throw the computer over, you know, anyway, because it's just that kind of thing. Well, listen, Tooth, as we end the program, tell me, give us some more information on what's coming up with you and everything, and then and how people can get your T-shirts and your sweatshirts and things like that on and stuff as we get ready to end the program.
Sure. Well, it's everything is at tootsweet.com, TOOTSSWEET.com. That's kind of like the hub. Everything's there. You can get the T-shirts. You can get the hoodies, you know, coffee cups, mugs, whatever you want to get. And then you can also purchase the music. It's all there. And, videos, if you want to check out some of the videos, I got a whole bunch of videos on YouTube. Just go to Tootsweet, and I got like 40-something videos up there.
Wow.
And yeah, we're having fun. We're trying to keep it fun and kind of educational, I guess. From what I see, you know, it's funny because this is all a learning experience for all of us. I never knew, you know, you literally have to educate yourself to know what's going on, because the schools aren't educating you on what's going on. They're educating you on an agenda that they want to perceive. So just by doing it, and then I documented documented it musically, and hopefully people will enjoy it and maybe get something out of it. That's kind of
well,
what the goal
I enjoy
they want.
I enjoy you because they may call you Toots Sweet, but I call you Too Sweet.
Ruthie, you're too good. You're too kind, sweetheart. You're too kind.
All right, dear heart. Well,
what
we'll talk
pleasure.
To you later. Too sweet. And it was a pleasure having you on today on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. Everybody, that was Too Sweet, the guy. We're going to listen to his Come On Man again.
Take care. Thank you.
Just a joke.